What does it say?
It says protect your nuts.
Read my shirt this early in the morning.
It answers that.
Kevin, you want to turn the air conditioner? Should we turn the air conditioner off? Does it matter? Acts chapter 10. We're going to spend another day or two on peace and then we'll move on. Hopefully I'll be able to see and then we can go back to Romans. The basis, the singular basis of peace is what some call the reconciliation with the first source, or being reconciled to God. Until reconciliation happens, there can really be no peace. And reconciliation can't happen if there is separation. And so the traditional ideas of salvation cannot produce peace, because the traditional ideas of salvation is that you're saved so that someday you will go to heaven. And so that's why for many years I've been saying if you're not in heaven now, you never will be, because the idea must be oneness with God before there can be peace. And if that oneness doesn't exist, then periodically, we've talked about so often when we do the first fruit, it says that you have an inheritance that you can possess periodically, or you can know you own it someday. But what God intends for you is to dwell in it 24 hours a day without exception. What? All right. So that's why, what we call the Lord's Prayer is really the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17, and that's his prayer, is that they may be one even as we are one. Now they are one by the word which I have spoken. And so unless that oneness exists, the ability to have peace uninterrupted is not possible. You can have it as a hope, you can have it as a thing you visit periodically, but there will always be something that takes you away from peace. The way somebody looks at you, or their legion. And so the whole basis of everything, really, about God stuff is reconciliation. And there's the human being cannot be reconciled. Only Christ is reconciled. So it's, again, your death, his life in you. Now, what we're going to study in Acts 10 is this Peter's preachments about, let's go there. Acts 10, verse something or other. Peter just had this vision about seeing that. Well, let's read it real quick. Go to start in verse 9. Somebody else read. Read verse 9 through. I'm going to try to read it without interrupting.
Tomorrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open. And a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to earth, wherein all were all the manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, let call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself that this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry to Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter followed on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men, which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you will come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel who sent to thee into his house, and to hear the words of thee. Then called he them in the lodge, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him.
Okay. So Peter has this. Peter had been preaching, you know, that they had to keep certain of the Christians or the new believers had to keep certain of the Jewish things. Peter has this vision, and then Cornelius, he's commanded to meet with Cornelius. So Gary, read now through verse 24 through 33.
And on the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and their friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, You know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for.
And do you understand what's happened?
No, what happened?
Cornelius had a vision that he would call, should call nothing unclean. Peter had the vision, and then and God showed him that he was to meet with this Cornelius. So let's go on down. Continue.
And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God.
Okay. This is a extremely important deal, from especially from Peter's standpoint. If you can go back and read it, I think it's wherever it is, but it's this discussion or argument that Peter had, or that Paul had with Peter and the others, about things that are common, or things that are common just means unclean in this context. And so this is the penultimate point with regard to the mystery of God being shared with the Gentiles. And so now next comes what Peter interpreting what he saw in the vision. So I'm going to try to read it. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. For in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by or in Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Now there's a couple of points that we're going to study this morning. In verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. The word anoint in Greek is krio, and it's Jesus' last name. You understand that? It's Jesus the Christ, the one that was anointed. And so when you know, we've all seen in these Benny Hinn meetings or television programs where, well, the anointing is so strong here. Well, there is no anointing without Jesus Christ, because he is the singular one that was anointed. But the basis of that, of everything about peace, is in verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by or in Jesus Christ. We must preach peace, but we must preach that peace is in him. Peace is the person. He is the God of peace. And so there is no... this is why I hate that footsteps in the sand business, you know, where... By the way, Barnett just wrote, there's a piece that came out this morning about a research thing of what books the American public thinks are holy. Somebody's got to write a piece on this, because fortunately it doesn't say footsteps in the sand, but it says a whole lot of other books American public considers holy. But back to peace. Oh, I don't know how to explain this. Let's go back to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 57. The Buckner chapter.
57?
Isaiah 57. Starting in verse 10. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. For thou hast found the life of thine hand, and therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied, and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest, and yet fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away, and vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust exclusively in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast you up, cast you up. Prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Now, what is that stumbling block? We've studied it 100,000 times, or maybe 100 times. What is the stumbling block that keeps you from him, from his truth, from true salvation? What is the stumbling block that keeps you from peace? Huh? Self.
Yay,
you are.
I am. Yeah.
Holy Anthony is a stumbling block.
For Holy Anthony.
For Keala.
Keala is a stumbling block for Keala. No, it doesn't work that way.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you are my stumbling block.
Again, what is the stumbling block? What is the great transgression? What is the fruit of the fall? All of it is self-realization. Self becoming something. All right. Cast up, prepare the way, and take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me in the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and I smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked... the wicked one, it is like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked one. And again, the question is that we always have to face, who is the wicked one? And until we understand that the wicked one is us, our minds, then we can never know peace. And there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked one. And so as long as you are striving, as long as you are dealing with something, as long as any of that is taking place, peace cannot happen. What do you do then with all these things that come upon? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do with the issues of this day? What we started to talk about last night is they are just the leaves that are falling off because you are now connected to the vine. You are the branch. He is the vine. And you just, as the more you can ignore those issues that are troubling, then the more peace will be your inheritance. And that's, there is no dealing with. There is no giving it any breath. There is no, there's no anything except just hanging out. What I tried to say last night with regard to what we see when we saw the Steve Mestis death, and what, you know, Steve isn't concerned with any of the myriad of problems that he was dealing with. Harry isn't concerned of many of the problems that he is dealing with. And that's that should be us. Amen? All right, let's look at a couple others. Anybody have any expansions or thoughts?
I was thinking about this in terms of 4th of July, we went to Lake Whitney and found a great spot, had our lounge chairs, had the shade, the water, the temperature was perfect, laying in our lounge chairs, and I was laying there just as comfortable and peaceful as I could have imagined. I couldn't imagine anything that would have been any scintilla better. And I was thinking about all of our talk about peace. There was, because physically everything was perfect, and I, in my heart, there was no separation, there was no unforgiveness. It was like an amazing moment. And, you know, if somebody would have come up and tipped over my chair at that time, I would say, you know, would that change the situation? And if it would, of course, the piece was false and just based on creature comforts. But if it wouldn't, then the piece is real. So if there's that place, and if it can be disturbed by something, it's not the right source of peace.
And it is no peace.
Well, it's not really peace, it's just a comfortable moment. So peace is way beyond your environmental conditions.
Well, I don't feel like talking anymore.
One thing you talked about last week was the when we become our own covering, there's no peace. But you made a motion with your hands like this, and for some reason that spoke to me, because when I can feel it when all the thoughts start to you know, what about this? What about that?
Or when someone, you know, most time peace is lost because of someone's response to you.
Yeah.
And in that moment, you can't even think about repenting. You couldn't possibly believe that that person and their response was an angel from heaven.
Because it's not. Duh. Angels do that.
Go get rid of a problem.
If I turn that back, it doesn't exist.
If I don't look at it, it won't exist. If I don't move, no one will notice me.
I was thinking in terms of what Gary was saying, is that God has put us together as a group of people who want to go and tip over your chair.
Look, he's
to make sure that, you know, your peace can't be anything other than the real thing.
Yeah, when Pete was talking about this thing, it's like your thoughts, opinions, ideas supplant God and become your covering. And they are your God then. And if anybody challenges your God, they have to be killed. Like a bunch of weeds grow up over your head.
Go to Isaiah 28 a minute. I misspoke earlier. Shut up, Joe Santa.
say Isaiah 20?
Isaiah 28. Verse 8. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. And whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And so until you recognize that the stammering lips, whether it's from a man or from anybody else, there's, somebody's mocking you. That's what stammering lips means. You're being mocked. And you're mocked because you don't understand that that person that you put you on a trip really is an angel from God. In order to cause you to be able to repent from that issue. Otherwise, you will never know peace.
Touching on all this topic, I keep thinking of the peace that passes understanding, that phrase. Because our understanding, we always have the... we want to do something, so the peace that passes understanding, we don't got to do nothing.
Ours is affected by circumstances.
Yeah. All righty. Take it, big guy.
Yes.
Does Judy know there's a first Monday?